Yo, Bruce Sophia here. Love for you to follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sophia as we explore the rich heritage of our Christian faith.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the Word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
So here we have the seventh day.
Oh.
We should read it.
Yes.
Verses 1 through 3. So just give me a second. We'll get there. The seventh day.
This is really cool because the seventh day defines an awful lot. It does.
It does everything, Blaine.
Right. And some of the easy things that I think of is, well, you know, on the seventh day, God rested, which kind of tells everybody you should work 6 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at what he says. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. That's verse 1 of chapter 2. But the seventh day... by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had done. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. And we'll look at that, but basically he sets it apart. He sanctifies it.
Yep.
Because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then when we get to verse 4, we begin to see the account of the heavens. God now gives us the detail of
the
creation.
The part I like.
Yeah, Adam and Eve and all of that. And we'll get there. But here we go. So verses 1 through 3. Verse 2, should read, and on the sixth day. So let's talk about this Sabbath rest. It became the basis for the Mosaic Sabbath, Exodus 20, verse 11, and the type of the believer's rest in God's redemption to be realized in Christ. See, in other words, think about this. We have, and that's why people think that the world is only going to exist 7,000 years. We have 6,000 years, and then we have this, if we look at Scripture literally, we have this 1,000 years that's called the millennium, or the rest.
Right.
It's the rest. But it's a Sabbath rest. But it's a type of us struggling in our lives, fighting with sin and the curse of sin, and then finally coming to that day where our salvation rests in Christ. And then that moves us to day 8,
right,
which is the day of new beginnings, eternity, where now our struggle is over.
Right.
That because of the seventh day, we can enter into not just his rest, but an eternity the way God planned it.
Right.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
He gives us a seventh day, not just literally, but figuratively. Mm-hmm. He's speaking to us. This book of Genesis in chapter 2 speaks to us about a coming Messiah, about a day of rest, that we don't have to toil in our sin and struggle with everything we struggle with. And this rest, in this case, it's not absolute, but it's going to be.
Right.
If we look at John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, you know, Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answers them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. We're reading now from John 5, to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. See, they knew Son of God was God.
That's right.
They knew it clearly. So then the day is blessed and it's sanctified. That word means to set apart for a sacred purpose.
Right.
So, you know, when we say happy holiday seasons, in essence, we're saying happy holy day seasons. Mm-hmm. And holy simply means set apart.
Right.
Or sanctified. Now we move into the second account, or what I like to call the supplement. And we begin to break down the first chapter.
Right.
For instance, verse 5b and 6 says there was no rain, only a mist. So we're beginning to understand how God watered the earth. It says man formed and was given life. Yastar is the Hebrew word. It means to mold or to squeeze into shape as a potter shapes. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 45:9, does the clay say to the potter, why are you making me this way? See, and then when it says and man was formed and given life, the word life is chelem, and it means breath of lives because it makes to live.
Right.
So we kind of dig into the Hebrew words that are translated into English because they have so much more depth. Mm. Now, this breath of life, it's not spirit as we see in Job 34:14. It is neshaham, and it means air inhaled and exhaled as in the act of respiration.
Right. Yep.
So God breathes in him the breath of life. He's literally breathing into him.
Yes.
Air.
Yes.
And then it says he becomes a living soul, nehesh, a breathing creature, a living organism. It's used in reference to lower animals because they live. Animals and man together, man as individual beings, man as a personality, mind, heart, all that makes up the living man, his appetites, etc. Now we're introduced to the garden, its location, and we're given its location. It's on the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers at their junction with Pishon or we could say Pishon or Gishon. These were the center of the earth's surface. That's where the Garden of Eden is, the center of the life's surface. And it says, and God planted the garden. God planted the garden. And he includes in this garden, verse 8, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he puts two trees there. Obviously, there are scores of trees.
Yeah.
But he puts two unique trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not only are these literal, but these are figurative. Mm. Speaking about, we have a choice.
Right.
We can choose good or we can choose evil. One is life, one is death. Yep. Temptation and life. We're in the center. And aren't they in the center today?
Yeah.
They're in the center of us.
That's right.
You know? We're in the center. So it is in our lives. The core of our joy, happiness, death, or life is in the midst of us. Spirit, flesh, the battle continues. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing here. Think about this. Spirit is eternal.
Yep.
He puts the tree of life in there. The spirit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, depending on the choice we make, it's death.
It's the battle we deal with every day.
The carnality.
What should I do?
So God puts in this garden, he's giving us a picture of himself. He's giving us a picture of our spirits that's live forever, and he's giving us a picture of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then we look at man's work. It was to dress and to keep the garden, which God had planted, to guard, protect, hedge about. God's second command was dying thou shalt die. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Spirit and physical. Spirit, Matthew 8:22, Ephesians 2:5-5. Physical, Romans 5:12, 1 Corinthians 21-25. So here we see the distinction between the spirit and the flesh.
Yep.
Then Adam names all the animals and the birds, verse 19. And it appears that he may have done that before the woman.
Hmm.
We're not sure. Because he names the woman.
Right.
It says that he named or called her woman in verse 23. Now, in verse 19, he names all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So did he name all the animals? Boy, that would be really fast. You're talking about one press of the button of the computer.
Yeah.
Shoo.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ish is man in the Hebrew, and Isha, I-S-H-A, so he adds a woman, is woman in the Hebrew. So just like we often in Scripture see a male and a masculine tense, by the way, we do that for evil.
Mm-hmm.
There's E-V-E-L and there's A-V-E-L,
mm-hmm.
Avail. So mm-hmm. we have a female and a male tense for evil. Right. Isn't that interesting? And we move on in the chapter. So now we have the making of the woman, which is verses 21 through 23. Made, the word is spena, which means to build or skillfully form. Not a word asha, which is usually used to made, to use when we use the word made.
Right.
So this little woman is uniquely made. It, again, it's not the typical word that's used for made, like, oh, Blaine made something, made a fishing boat, or, you know, Blaine made a meal out of what he caught right. when he was fishing this morning. But this is pena, which means the builder just skillfully form, like an artist
right.
would create a sculpture.
Right.
That's the difference. And here, God institutes, or better yet, ordains marriage, man to a woman, verse 24. Not man to man.
That's right.
Or woman to woman.
That's right.
Because man to man cannot produce after their own kind, and woman to woman can't produce after their own kind. I mean, there's a plumbing here that yeah. God creates.
Yeah.
With a purpose.
That's right.
Right. And so, you know, we can argue the definition of marriage. The Supreme Court can change the definition of marriage, which really is a slap in the face of God. But God sets it, and isn't it interesting? We can't reverse it.
That's right.
We may write a new definition for marriage, but the only way same-sex marriage couples have children is through opposite sex relationships.
That's right. Man and man can't produce, woman and woman can't produce, right. and it's the way God's designed. Man and woman can only produce.
So when people say, and I've heard ministers say, renowned ministers say, well, we don't address the subject of homosexuality because God didn't address the subject of homosexuality. Or God didn't address marriage. Well, he clearly addressed marriage. Jesus clearly addresses marriage
yeah.
when he says, in the beginning it was not so.
Right.
For God created them male and female. Male and female created he them. God clearly addresses marriage. Everything on the planet stems out of this institution of marriage.
That's right.
Everything stems out of the institution of marriage when it comes to animals. You know, when it comes to animals, they produce after their own kind because there's male and female.
Right.
You know,
yep.
And in essence, the same thing happens when it comes to the pollination of fruit and trees and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be a female egg and there has to be a male seed.
That's right.
So here we go. So here we see the first picture. Now here's what's interesting here, Blaine. To establish a different definition of marriage, then not only smacks God in the face, but it does away with the need for a Savior.
Mm. Interesting.
Christ and his bride.
That's
this
right.
picture of Adam and Eve is the picture of Christ and his bride. It's the picture of the church, naked and not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25 says, possibly some think clothed in light, such as the transfiguration that we see on Mark chapter 9, or the redeemed in Revelation chapter 3, or verse 21. You following me?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's the picture of salvation.
That's right.
We can't in any way discredit man and woman and marriage, because it's called the marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is that? That's a bride and a groom. Us the bride, he the groom.
Right.
So this picture, not only literal in the physical sense, it's literal in the spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 2. It concludes with this beautiful picture of salvation through marriage. Man was in an innocent state, of not being righteous or evil.
Mm-hmm.
See, they weren't holy, nor were they evil. So today he covers himself. Doesn't do that with animals, but he covers himself in the testimony of his choice,
right,
to through the cross cloak man in righteousness so that he's not seen in sin. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
It's the picture we always wanted.
And that's how chapter 2 ends.
So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, you know, it could be no fault of your own.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in a church and nobody ever said, hey, there had to be a time when you had to personalize your faith, where you had to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I remember Florence Littower saying, I went to church on my life and never heard that I had to receive Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. So I didn't even know if I understood that I needed to receive him for my sins. I knew I was a sinner, but I just thought that if I lived a good enough life, that would cover my bases.
Right.
So I don't know what denomination you come from, but Scripture's clear. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there's a remedy. Believe the truth about the remedy. But God demonstrates his love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that when we receive Christ, therefore now is there no condemnation to those who are in him, Romans 8:1. I would say this throughout the prison. Guess what? You don't have to be held in bondage. You can have freedom inside these walls. Therefore is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those listening, you know, that sentence of sin doesn't have to be stamped upon you. You can be stamped pardon. See, commit your life to his righteousness. Say, I'll be a follower of Christ. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. But I'll tell you what it does mean. You know who your daddy is.
Amen.
And when you sin, you feel absolutely awful, miserable, because you know that what you're doing is grieving your dad.
That's right.
And that's how you know you belong. So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, Blaine, what do they do?
Well, Bruce, what they should do is this. Call us toll-free at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and request our ABC pamphlet. It's a free gift for those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce, and it addresses some of the questions about salvation and suggestions of what to do next, like reading God's Word, attending church, and fellowship with Christian friends. You can also get a copy at cbtw.org. On our website, you can also find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ and how to support Changed by the Word. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Hope Rises is an all-new Easter production presented by the GCCC Creative Arts Department.
Soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus breathed his last?
This is a unique modern day story that tells of a Midwest town that searches for answers after their world collapses.
This uplifting and compelling production combines drama, sets, costumes, lights, sound, and music as the Easter story unfolds.
1 weekend only, 5 performances, and admission is free. Friday, April 7th at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, April 8th at 3:30 and 6:30 p.m. And again Sunday, April 9th at 9:15 a.m. and again at 12:15 p.m. Hope Rises Easter production at the Gloucester County Community Church. Visit gcccpray.com for times and directions. Love, Lust, and Lies, the third book from Dr. Bruce Sophia's Hijack Life, Rescue Your Dream series.
So, my friend, there's a new book coming, and somewhere I read that you were stoked about the manuscript.
I have never been more stoked about anything I've written. You know, this is the third book now.
Yep.
We have two more yet on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
First was Hope Beyond Suicide. Second was When Divorce is Right. This book is entitled Love, Lust, and Lies.
Mm.
And by the way, the name was given to the book by our focus group, which was comprised of college and career and high school seniors.
Mm, nice.
Because that is the target.
Absolutely.
The whole purpose of this book, Blaine, listen, I've been in the ministry 40 years now. 34 as a senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
6 years as a youth pastor. And I am telling you the reason why we lose marriages and relationships don't last is because of the lie that Satan has sold to this culture.
Yes.
And that's what this book is about. Listen, here are some of the titles. The Deception of Physical Attraction. Arranged Marriages.
Mm.
The Two Great Commandments for Marriage. Welcome to the World Since the Fall.
Yeah.
The World View of Fornication.
Mm.
Here are the facts, which, by the way, there are teens and college and career didn't know what the word meant.
Fornication, right.
And it is the biblical word.
Yes.
And it is the lie.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Here are the facts. The facts will blow you away. You cannot believe the difference between those who build a relationship God's way. And we're talking about sexual satisfaction in a marriage.
Right.
You cannot believe the difference between those who build a relationship God's way and those who build a relationship the world's way. They'll blow you away.
Yeah.
Booze, unbridled conversation, and sex. That's a very fascinating chapter. But we're already having sex.
Oh, yeah.
And relationships that last. And there are more. That's just some of the titles. So what this book does, in brief, it exposes the lie of Satan. It will rescue relationships, save marriages, and be, in a sense, a preventative supplement, a medication, so that when you enter a marriage, you won't lose it.
That's right.
I think one of the most profound, short, not lengthy, but wow, Love, Lust, and Lies. It should be in everybody's library. Maybe I'm biased, but I think it should be in everybody's library.
Well, I can't wait to read it.
You're going to love it.
And you know, when I read things, I pass them along to others as a free gift.
You're going to love the book. Oh, and by the way, the questions have also been designed, formulated by those two focus groups, the senior high and college and career.
Well, that's awesome.
If you'd like to help sponsor this book project, contact Bruce at hijacklife.com or simply call 1-855-HJL-RSCU. Let me give you that number again a little easier. 1-855-455-7728. And just ask for Jim or Kathy. Or if you prefer, contact us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. Love, Lust, and Lies. This is a book you're definitely going to want to put in your library. Your gift could rescue the life of a teen, young adult, or even your marriage.